from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I get your point that, you know, not the easiest path, but maybe the easiest path to assuring yourself of getting into the NCAA tournament is how things go in Fort Worth in March. And so, yeah, it's another valid point that you make. I'd certainly see what you're saying there, and there's definitely an argument to be made that unfortunately that matters more than say the other two thirds of the season that you mentioned.
I mean, I know it's an extreme example, but there's a reason why the West Coast Conference rigs their conference tournament like they do. I mean, you know what I mean? Right. Like the 1 and 2 teams have to win twice. And right. You don't the tournament's basically been going on for like a full week before they even show up. Like it's
right.
Like that's going to be a huge part of if the league's new reality is you're really only guaranteed one bid. Well, I want to make sure that the team that's getting the one bid is the right team. You know what I mean? Or as close as I can to doing it.
Well, let's hope this for Memphis's sake and for the Memphis fan base's sake that everything goes well in the non-conference, everything goes well in the conference, and then by the time they get to Fort Worth, they're just playing for seeding. Or that would be the only thing that changes. Like,
yeah.
you know, let's hope for everybody's sake that by the time Fort Worth rolls around, that the vast majority of the suspense has been removed from the road ahead.
The more I think about last season, like, yeah, I know we as sports fans, like, we can fall into convenient narratives and being like, this team fell apart or, you know, however we're going to say it. I really think one of the more, like, if you were going and looking at it, like, historically and you were trying to, like, really figure out, like, what happened, I think an underrated moment of last year is the USF game on an ice storm night. Or what did we have? It was like a snowpocalypse or whatever. And
yeah.
You wind up on a weird night against a team that was better than they were given credit. You'd kind of gotten punched in the mouth a little bit, but it was kind of the, all right, let's get back on our feet. And you think, like, what's the best way to do that? Home game, you know, we get our crowd back, we'll be in it. And then you wind up at a game with like 11 people. And then you jump out early and then you are just holding on for dear life.
Throw this in the mix, too. That was, I think, 2 games after Caleb Mills' injury.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Happened, and it was 1 game after, if I'm not mistaken, they went and put up like 180 at Wichita State or whatever it was, where they could not miss, you know, and they're you know, feeling like they can do no wrong. And I mean, I don't know. Nobody ever said that. Nobody ever said, like, man, we were on top of the world. We were on cloud 9. We felt invincible. But, you know, these are the little things that that play into the course of an entire season. It's like, you know, those 2 things happened in the 2 games before the South Florida game. And then, yes, there was ice all over the roads. And it was freezing outside, and the school actually like went out on social media publicly and was like, please don't come to the games. It's, you know, like if you want to come, come on, but
it's dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, don't get yourself hurt doing it, or get yourself stranded or whatever. And, you know, that I'm sure, you know, had an effect on the attendance. And yeah, no, it felt like it was, I mean, I think there were bigger crowds at some of those COVID games.
I do too. Jason, got another? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it was like, yeah, that is, to Jeffrey's point, that game is really kind of where it all, mm-hmm. you know, where it all caught up to him and fell apart.
Okay, Jason, got a question about the roster. Tell me this, of that group that's here, I guess mostly the eight D1 transfers, tell me who needs to become the pommel horse guy? Who's going to be the breakout guy on this roster?
Well, so we know who P.J. Haggerty is. We know who Tyrese Hunter is. So you would say, if I'm understanding what you're saying, yeah. Like they can't be, they're disqualified from consideration. Memphis knows who Nick Jourdain is, so we disqualify him too. I guess I would say, you know, Dane Danger is a candidate because he gives Memphis, you know, kind of something that it hasn't had in a couple of years, like a true big man who is a threat on the offensive end, who can play more than 15 minutes a game. And, you know, the fact that he had like one pretty good year at Illinois, and then last year it wasn't so good. And so from that standpoint, like, you really kind of don't, you're kind of like, there's some trepidation with what you're going to get out of him. So I would say he's a candidate. And then Tyreek Smith is one, you know, a guy who played part of his career at Oklahoma State and, you know, wasn't like a star or anything. And then he goes to SMU last year and becomes this, like, I don't know if he made the all defensive team, but I feel like he should have if he didn't. You know, a guy who's just this, like, not singularly focused, because he's not just like a ghost on offense, but like he's programmed for defense. And, you know, Memphis hasn't had, or at least they didn't last year, they didn't really have many guys who were programmed to be.
They may not have any,
except for Bills, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be a nice, you know, shot in the arm for this team to have somebody like that you can count on to be a rim protector and be a strong rebounder. And I mean, to me, like the most encouraging thing about this roster is that there's going to, like, everybody, there are very clearly defined roles, and maybe this is because there aren't very many, you know, the full roster there aren't 13 scholarship guys, at least not yet, that there does seem to be a bit of a pecking order, you know, like, you've got Tyrese Hunter and P.J. Haggerty at the top. Colby Rogers is going to be your sharpshooter. You know, Tyreek Smith is my pick to be the starting four, and then Dane Danger is going to be your five, with Musa coming off the bench and Nick Jourdain coming off the bench and Barack Okoje coming off the bench. But I would say, yeah, I would say it's either going to be Tyreek Smith or Dane Danger. Those are my two picks, with maybe in a close third, depending on his health, Barack Okoje. I think he's got like X factor potential to me. If he is like, if he fully recovers, which everybody expects he will, and he's completely available for all, if not the majority of the season, I think he's got a chance to be, you know, a really, really, really strong cog in the wheel for Memphis this season. So those are my thoughts on that. And, yeah, those are my three picks.
Munns, we appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. When we come back, We'll get into the list. We'll get into more of the USA Today Top 25, the coaches poll. We'll get into some NFL news, some Olympics as well. We'll do all that during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
List. Jeffrey and Company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
USA Today.
You just made the list!
Yeah, we have officially gotten the USA Today US LBM, and apparently, according to the internet, it is USLBM Holdings, LLC. USLBM is a people and culture-driven company that is built on trust and empowerment, which enables associates to realize their full potential. Still gotten a lot of buzzwords, a lot of PR. Is it like a placement company? Still quite not getting what exactly it is. But nonetheless, they are the new title sponsor of the coaches poll. The Georgia Bulldogs take the top spot. The Bulldogs received, let's see, where did the final number go? They received their highest and lowest. Did they get all? They got 46 first place votes. They were ahead of Ohio State, who comes in at number two. They took seven first place votes. Oregon at three. Texas, who received one first place vote, at four. Alabama at five, Ole Miss at six. It is the highest that Ole Miss has been ranked since, I believe, 1970 in the preseason coaches poll. Notre Dame is at seven. Michigan also received one first place vote. They are at eight. Penn State is at nine. Our friend Mike Norvell is at number 10. They are the highest ranked pure ACC team. Notre Dame obviously playing the schedule. I believe it's five games of an ACC schedule. Missouri comes in at 11, LSU 12, 13 Utah, 14 Clemson. That's another ACC team. 15 is the Tennessee Vols. 16 is the Oklahoma Sooners. 17 Kansas State. 18, Oklahoma State, 19, Miami, 20, Texas A&M, 21, Arizona. Be interested to see if they have staying power. NC State at 22, USC at 23, Kansas at 24, Iowa at 25. Washington, the defending national runner-up, was the first in others receiving votes, so they are not officially ranked. Louisville behind them, Virginia Tech next, SMU, and then Memphis. We mentioned that Memphis is ahead of Boise State. So no G5 team ranked in the preseason coaches poll. I think the number one thing, Phil, that stands out is it is the SEC and the Big Ten's world right now.
Yeah, and you know what? You mentioned Ole Miss not since 1970. We're going back to Archie Manning days.
Correct. And that it's the UPI ran the coaches poll back then.
Okay.
So not even USA Today. Because I think USA Today takes over 91. It's the highest they've been ranked since USA Today has been administering the poll, which was, yes, in 1991.
USLBM, were they in existence in 1970?
I'm going to bet no, but seeing as I still don't know what they are, I can't say definitively.
Oh, yeah, that's a great poll.
Couple of the other notes. Michigan has received the number one vote, or received the last number one vote, but lands at number 8 overall. It's the lowest preseason ranking for the previous year's champ since 2011, when Auburn opened at number 19. There was a very clear difference between Auburn in 2010 and Auburn in 2011. There was no Cam Newton. But much like kind of the same thing, I mean, while Michigan returns a ton on defense, they lost almost everything on offense, including their starting quarterback, but their best receivers. The thing that's interesting about Michigan is I don't really know, like, it seems to be odd of what is their expectation, because it almost feels like everyone thinks Michigan's taking an obvious drop-off. They're still in the top 10. Like, it's still a playoff team.
Where's Mark Giannotto when you need him to kind of break down Michigan?
So, Mark claims that he's not the right person to ask because he thinks there's going to be a massive drop-off.
Hmm.
Mark's belief is, like, yes, they will still win 8 games, 9 games, but you also look at it this way. They also have to play Texas in the non-conference. And then they have their Big Ten schedule. I want to say it's like their big ones, obviously. They still play Ohio State. I think the Penn State game rotates off. The big winners of the new Big Ten schedule was Penn State, because now they don't have to play both Ohio State and Michigan in the same year, where it didn't happen often, but sometimes you'd beat one, but you can't beat both. And so everyone gets to make their jokes that Penn State's just, you know, not an elite program. They're going to find that this world's a lot better. So Michigan will have Texas week 2 at home, USC at home week 4. They go to Washington to start October. They get Oregon at home, and they close at Ohio State. So they have 5 games that are going to define their season. It seems unlikely to me that they go 5-0. It also seems unlikely to me that they go 0-5.
So much of that has to do, again, when you lose a coach like,
yes,
like Harbaugh. I mean, it's just going to take a while for them to kind of regroup.
Well, then they also have this weird, this is another wow, times are different. When I saw this headline yesterday, having covered a couple of NCAA investigations myself, when we got the report that there was a leaked draft of a notice of allegations, that was one where I was going, listen, I know how this thing works, but, like, I've never seen the draft get leaked. Like, you've always heard behind the scenes, like, here's what's in it or here's not what's in it. Just the straight-up leaking of the draft. I don't know whether it matters or not, but it does give you some indication just how upset the NCAA is with Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. It's when they sink their teeth into you.
Well, they're leaking the draft. I mean, remember the deal? Listen, we never comment on open investigations, or we never comment on the whole process. Appears that is not the case anymore. We're just leaking drafts. Like that to me was, and I'm not even trying to defend Michigan in this. Like, it all comes back to the same thing. It's like, you got caught with Connor Stallions. Like, do I think everyone steals signs? Yeah, but we have, like, video proof of you sending a guy in disguise to other sidelines. Like, there's going to be, you're going to get a different punishment. Like, that's just, you got caught. Like, I don't understand why we have such a difficult time, like, accepting that. It's like, do I think other teams steal signs? Yes. Also, Like, you opened yourself up for whatever punishment may come. Then, of course, you find out that there's been deleting of text messages. Well, duh. Like, if there's going to be any kind of leaks of links, of course there's going to be. But I think that is just, like, the most perfect college football story. It begins with Ryan Day can't beat Michigan. His brother owns a PI firm, like an investigative firm. And then we've just gotten, like, the most ridiculous. Then you have the one person who wrote a manifesto and did not become, like, a mass murderer. He just wanted to fix Michigan football. Like, it's the most college football, this is the world we live in moment. I think also, I believe it's 8 of the top 20 teams in the preseason rankings are on Florida's schedule. I still have no idea who made Billy Napier's schedule, but
they want to see him gone.
I was going to say, it feels like that's the type of schedule that you make when you are trying to fire your coach.
So do you think somewhere down the road that people will be able to intercept headset communications? You know, are we going to reach that point?
I mean, I think the question is, like, can they? I mean, basically all you got to do is figure out the channel.
Yeah.
It does not seem like it's something that happens frequently in the NFL.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the thing that was also so dumb about it to begin with is, like, the initial reasoning behind why advanced scouting became illegal is that it was, well, the small schools they can't pay for it. It was never to protect the sanctity of the game. But, like, there's also this other reality of, it's like, all right, if I'm playing Michigan, you know what I'm doing on Monday at practice? We're changing our signs. Like, everyone just kind of freaking out. Like, I used the example, in between my junior and senior year at MUS, Coach Massey took the Baylor head coaching job. He also took Bubba Burr, who was our defensive coordinator. We lost both of our coordinators, and they went to Baylor. We paid Baylor the next year. You know what we did at practice that week? We changed our signs. And do we think, like, oh, this wasn't like some indictment, like, we don't trust them. It's like, yeah, no, if I knew the sign, if we were doing the same thing, watching the other sideline, I was looking to see, I know what Coach Massey's signs are. I was looking to see if he changed them up. Guess what Baylor did?
They changed
their signs. Like, it was just the most ridiculous. It was like the classic, we turned it into, there's a big problem in the world of journalism where you have a lot of people that didn't play sports, that are covering sports, and I feel like it always just heightens all of the drama. It's like, well, this is blatant cheating. It's like, yes, it is. It is wrong, and they got caught, and it was stupid. But it's also like, there were workarounds, and it's like, as soon as we decided we want to fix it, we're just like, yeah, we're putting in the NFL system. But the reason why a lot of coaches didn't want the NFL system is because we have a real problem of overcoaching in college football. Well, when you do the NFL system, they cut it off. I think it's for 25 seconds. I think NFL maybe 15, whatever. 25 seconds left on the play clock. Well, coaches want to be able to change the play up until the last moment because, like, it becomes just a scheme play. Like, throw it to this guy. It was one of those ones where it was hilarious to get kind of new details almost each and every week. Like, Stallions was at a con- – or we did confirm, yes, he was on the Central Michigan sideline watching a Michigan State game. But it was just overall, it's like, that was one of the most overblown stories I think I've ever read. But at the same time, you kind of loved it because it was like peak college football.
You know, it's funny, you know, you were getting back to like things that people don't understand, like maybe the journalist doesn't know
what's
going on. I remember like covering baseball, maybe the Redbirds, and the manager gets tossed.
Yes.
But he's in the runway. He's still
pulling up Bobby Valentine.
Yeah.
Valentine with the fake mustache is still one of my all-time favorites. Got tossed from the game. It's just like, but it's like, that's the other thing. It's like, there's so many times where I see a story become something I think is a much bigger deal. You can usually kind of trace it back to, all right, it either starts with rival fan base that's upset and trying to make it a bigger deal when they know in reality it's not that big of a deal, but they want to make it a bigger deal. Or it's usually someone that doesn't really understand locker rooms. And the way locker rooms work.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've seen that. I've seen that through the years. It's just, it's crazy to see.
I think the team that if we're going to do the obvious, whenever you get a new ranking, you have to immediately determine the team that's most overrated. I weirdly think I want to go down to Utah. And it's not that I think Utah's not going to be good. It's just, I think it's entirely possible the team that wins the Big 12 is like somewhere between 20 and 25. To me, Utah at 13, that implies like that's going to be like a 10-2-ish type team. And I don't know if they're that. Like, I think they can win the Big 12, but I think they can win the Big 12 like 9-3.
Typically, when you get a coach's poll, then you, do you put more faith in it than when you see the other poll come out?
So, when I was young, the trick worked for me of nobody knows football better than coaches. I used to put way more stock into it. And then you get older, and then you start to realize the coaches, it's one of two things. Number one, you realize that coaches really only know their team and who they're playing. They're not really watching the rest of football. But then you started figuring out coaches really aren't doing their own polls anyway. It's usually the SID that's doing the poll. There's usually not a ton of difference between the two of them. But I think in the end, I usually give more stock to the AP poll because I think they're more concerned. There's a little bit, I've seen more people that vote in the AP poll that I think labor over it more. It doesn't mean that there's not bad examples. There always will be bad examples. But I feel like it's a lot easier to watch the sport in its entirety if you're not a coach.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, this is where I'll give Penny Hardaway a lot of credit. When you'd have to go over the postseason teams and then the preseason polling, he wanted to sit down and go over. He knew his stuff. I mean, he knew his teams. He knew the players in the league. It was not something he wanted to hand off. So I give him credit for that because not many coaches would put themselves in that position.
No, and sometimes you get the coach that wants to do the first and the last one.
Yeah.
And then you'd see that one. But let's go back to something we were talking about with Munns. What do you think the right answer is with the schedule if you're Tiger basketball?
Oh, no. When you got a chance to put together a schedule like he has, I just think the fans want it. They want to go and see a game that matters to them. As far as postseason, you know, which one do you want? Again, it's in Penny's DNA. He's not one that's going to not play a tougher schedule.
I think the only justification for caking the schedule, if you will, to me, it's if your goal is simply to be a tournament team,
yeah,
I get it. I think, though, that's just, even though we've reached this weird point where some would say, well, we've lowered expectations with Tiger basketball, I think it's contextual. Like, I think we would all agree it's a successful basketball season this year if they make the tournament.
Yeah.
And yes, like when you're comparing to some historical standard, or even the standard that Penny at times has said, that is a lowering of the standard. But I think you also have to factor in, okay, where is everybody right now? Because this is the first time where it's uncomfortable. And it's not like, okay, we haven't reached a hot seat, we haven't reached it's tournament time or bust. But doubt has started to creep into people's minds. And the reason why I've said that should be the standard is, if they can get back to the tournament, it allows you to do the, okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this isn't where we want it to be. And after year seven, this is not where we thought it would be. Would it be year seven or year six?
It would be year seven.
And we've only had six tournaments. Mm-hmm. That's the distinction. Like, this is kind of like you're having to hit a reset. And to me, it's like if you can hit the reset, make the tournament, now you can start to regain momentum. Like, to me, that's a huge part of it.
Well, again, going back to something Jason said, I think that Penny has put together a team, has had them longer. I think they're in position to do pretty well and have a team that can make it to the tournament. But a few years ago, Brendan Quinn from The Athletic came in. He's over in Paris right now covering the Olympics for them. But we sat and talked about it. He wanted to do this pretty huge takeout feature piece on Tiger basketball. And he asked me what would be a successful season for a Tiger fan. And yes, it was the tournament. But I said, there's so much. For a Tiger basketball fan, the whole season is for them, it's the recruiting rankings. It's just talking about a particular player, his strengths or weaknesses. It's talking about, you know, the beginning of the year and a tough game, a win or a loss. It's the whole thing. It's the whole season. So going back to that, you need to have to me, a schedule. Fans want a schedule they can talk about.
I think that's entirely right. And it's like, it also is, there's a business element. Like,
yeah.
When you know there's not a lot of conference games that your fan base cares about, like, I point to the Clemson game last year. Like, you might not have fun at that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was about as good as it got. Let's go with the Olympics.
You just made the list!
Okay, so I found myself yesterday, the Olympic golf actually got pretty fun. And I was never, like, 100% out on it. I thought the format was stupid. Like, in this, when every single tournament we care about is basically four rounds and 72-hole stroke play, I was like, let's do something different that makes it feel different. I thought this was actually an important Olympics for golf, if this thing's actually going to have staying power, because if you think back to the two previous iterations, in 2016, Zika's going on in Brazil. Players were looking for an excuse not to go. Some did go. Justin Rose wins it, and he was a worthy champion. He's a major champion. Wins it, whatnot. But then we got to Tokyo. You had the no fans, and it was still this weird environment. But then you also had a couple of guys that went and liked it. Like, Rory ends up going and having a much better experience that kind of contradicted other comments that he had previously made. He's like, I'm going to watch the sports at the Olympics that matter. And he said, you know, going and realizing, like, it's the hardest I've ever tried to get third place in my life. And so, like, that started to help. And then this time it did feel like the big names that were qualified, they all went for the most part. And so this, I thought, was an important moment of, if this thing is going to catch on, you had to have the big guys and the big names all go. And then you really needed them to have a good experience. And let's be real, I can't think of anything more validating for a tournament than Scottie Scheffler winning it. Like, the world number one.
And the way he did it.
Correct. Yeah. And shooting 62, or 29 on the back. And honestly, like, I was making the joke, but, like, it is also fitting. Like, Tommy Fleetwood finished second. It's like, yeah, it's a big tournament. Fleetwood's going to finish second. He played well. He's awesome. Didn't get it done. But Scheffler winning it. And then, I think also, honestly, having Hideki, like, another worldwide name, like, it gave it some gravitas. It's still going to be this weird thing where every 4 years, are the top names going to be eligible? Because golf's always going to kind of have this weird reality of the biggest names are not always the guys that lead the points.
In light of that, are you a proponent of a team format?
I thought it'd be more fun. But I also, there are logistical problems with that. I did think a team format would be more fun. But when you saw the comments, like, the team format only becomes more fun because you can play upon the national angle.
Yeah.
It seems now that everybody's caught on, like, when you're just wearing the team gear, like, that kind of solidifies it. And to me, it seemed like it was a big win. But I also know that everything in professional golf, like, get ready. The next story is going to be whatever. They win whatever the Olympic Committee deems a medal is worth. And so, you know, the whole jokes yesterday, it's like, oh, Scotty only won 33 grand. And, you know, that I think that would have been the smallest paycheck he's had all year by a wide, wide margin. And so everybody's making that joke. But it's like, I also know how it works out in professional golf. Like, at some point, some player's going to raise his hand, like, why are we not making more money? They did it at the Ryder Cup. They did it at this. But I did find myself being hopeful that, like, this is an event that, like, I think it can be the same thing that Olympic tennis is. And the one key difference is Olympic tennis, at least there's a format change from the Grand Slams. Like, when you go with the three sets, but the third set's just a tiebreaker, like, it becomes like speed tennis. And you lose a set, and all of a sudden, you're like, oh, boy. And you lose the first couple of games of the second set. But I think it also helped yesterday, like, with Djokovic winning and seeing, like, how much it meant to him. Like, I think that's the key. It's if you see the top players not only winning but showing that it means something to them, I do think it has staying power.
Same with Scheffler. You saw him break down on, yeah.
Yes, but I knew.
He's emotional.
I was more worried if Xander won. Because Xander falls into the category of they're not paying me. But I knew I knew Scotty would be the guy that would care if he won. And we saw, like, but Xander is Xander's a professional golfer. He's more so than that. And so then you just, like, categorize Scotty's whole year. It's just absolutely insane. All right, I want to talk a little bit more football. We'll do that. The NFL Top 100 came out, and whoo, boy, we got some petty wars going on in the NFL. We'll discuss that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And Phil, it was released over the weekend. We've got the NFL's top 100 players as voted on by the players, for players, by players. And holy cow. Wow. The number one player. And I can understand it, but holy cow. Tyreek Hill. All right, if you're going to say who is the player that scares defenses and other players the most, I get it with being Tyreek. Because you watch Tyreek and you go, how's the guy always open? How are you supposed to catch him? I get it. This is, though, where it starts to become, okay, what are we doing here? Number two, and the number one quarterback, Lamar Jackson. You would think, surely, Mahomes is going to be at three, right?
Right.
Guess again. Christian McCaffrey is at three. Then we get Patrick Mahomes at four, Myles Garrett at five, Chris Jones at six, Trent Williams at seven, TJ Watt at eight, Travis Kelce at nine, Max Crosby at 10.
As if he needed it.
So,
what kind of motivation does Mahomes have this year?
This is like the one question that I have is, did they, like, I need to see the voting. Because my first thought is, this is the NFL doing what the NFL does best, which is get us talking about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
If indeed this is how the voting went, which I don't really have a reason to believe that it's not, I just do not understand. Like, I do not understand how you can, like, if you're trying to take the list seriously, how are you not putting Patrick Mahomes one?
I don't know. Are they growing disenchanted with his popularity? Other players,
but is he really that much more popular? Like, honestly, like, I mean, Kelsey's at nine. Like, to me, the easiest person to take that out on would be Kelce. Yeah. I guess, though, maybe is there some implicit saying the players think Kelce's the reason why he's as successful? To which I would go, well, he's like, Travis didn't have the greatest year. He still won the Super Bowl. Like, the one, though, that just makes me really just go, okay, this is just pure pettiness. We watched Lamar and we watched Mahomes go head-to-head in the second biggest playoff game of the year. It was very obvious which guy was clearly the better player. And so, and like, I can even kind of hear the argument of, well, Lamar's just the scariest guy to prep for. It would be different to me if Mahomes were like Brady and you're just sitting there going, well, we don't have to worry about his legs. We don't have to worry about, like, the wow things. Yes, he's an all-time great, but we don't have to worry about all these things. Yeah, he's not as straight-line fast as Lamar is, but it's not like you don't have to prepare for Patrick Mahomes getting outside the pocket and making ridiculous throws. I just don't. This is that one where it's like, what are we doing here? Are we trying to be dumb? Are we trying to prove a point? Like, I don't understand what the purpose of this is. But it almost is like, it just makes you look, it makes the rest of the players look incredibly childish.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of what came out when you showed that to me. We'll see. Again, you know, like I said earlier, Patrick had he's had a couple of things happen in the last week or two that has him kind of probably looking forward to this season a little bit more.
Yeah, and also it's like, what happened to the day and age of, like, don't give those guys motivation?
Yeah.
Like, Mahomes is not really, like, he's clearly been one that, like, has rabbit ears. And, like, even though he says, like, oh, I don't read that stuff, like, the Burrow head, like, everything, it's like, oh, yeah, no, he clearly takes a lot of it personally. It's like, I just don't understand if I'm in a league where Patrick Mahomes is ruining the dreams of so many teams, I just don't understand, like, giving him free motivation.
No, and you've been around athletes long enough to know it does not take a whole lot for them to build
no,
the whole year.
The number one giveaway, when a guy is like, I don't read that, is the number one giveaway if I read everything.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy, when you know a guy that hasn't read anything, is when you're discussing something, he's like, what'd they say? And like, you have to like, and it's not even like some, because some guys will do this like where it's very orchestrated, like, what'd they say, when it's obvious, like, but you can tell when a guy knows, I have no clue, like, what was said. Like, you, and you're like, well, this happened, that happened. Like, okay, so let me get it straight. Like, this is what happens. And then, like, those are guys that don't read anything. That's when you can tell, like, that person is truly, like, actually, like, when they say, I don't read that stuff, like, that, those are the people that I buy it.
90% of the time, if someone comes up to me and says, I did not read that, they had five people that have already told them about it.
That is, I guess you're right. That's the only other, that's more with coaches, though.
It's more with coaches.
With coaches of the, I don't read your stuff,
yeah,
but I've got people that basically read it to me.
I know what you said.
Correct. I'm aware. Like that's another big giveaway. I don't read that. This one just, oh my God. Then we also got the rest of the quarterbacks in general. So Lamar would technically be number one. Then Mahomes at two. Then I think it's then Allen at three. I'm trying to see, where did my, all right, here we go. Where did this list go? Okay, yeah. Lamar would be the number one quarterback, two Mahomes, three Josh Allen, four Jalen Hurts, five Dak, six CJ, seven Brock Purdy, eight Jordan Love, nine Tua, 10 Joe Burrow. Where I would buy the argument of, I think Burrow at 10 is the classic, we think this guy gets too much love. And I think the other way I would phrase it is, I think players would tell you Burrow gets the love that Ja'Marr Chase gets. I think that's kind of how they, like, when I try to psychoanalyze, how would you reach this conclusion? I think that's where it would be. I still don't understand how you reach that conclusion with the Chiefs and with Mahomes, because to me, it's like the most demoralizing of all of Mahomes' championships is this one, because this is the one where I was like, I don't think they're that good.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have Tyreek. He didn't have all these weapons. He's mostly doing it like three tight end sets. Like, his best receivers, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, that would be the one that would be the most demoralizing to me. So, like, if he can win a Super Bowl with that collection, like, what happens when they do inevitably, like, replenish?
Is there any doubt in your mind that if this same list was voted upon by NFL writers and broadcasters, it would come out different? Mahomes would be at the top?
Mahomes would be one. I think if NFL writers did it, I think it would look something like this. Mahomes would be one, and it would almost be like a unanimous one. Some order of Allen, Lamar, Burrow, I think would be in that next tier. Then you would get some collection of CJ Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love. I don't think, the other thing that was surprising to me is that Tua is getting more love from players.
Yeah.
But it's almost like Tua, they're contradicting themselves. It's like they give Tua credit, but not Burrow. Like that was the one. So I think we've just established, like, the NFL is now becoming like the NBA. We're just having petty, petty, petty wars. All right, we come back. We tell your story next. We'll do it right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Phil. In today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we go to pretty much the mouthpiece of this entire operation, Draymond Green. I think the 2024 team beats the Dream Team 5 out of 7 games. Well, first off, why are you even playing a 7-game series? Shouldn't it just be over with at 4?
Yes.
Like, just say, like, I think, was he trying to say, I think they beat him in 5? Like, 4-1, it's just the most, like, God.
It's just Draymond being Draymond.
I am curious to see if, when that generation moves out, is there still going to be this back and forth of basketball today versus basketball in the 90s?
Always.
I am curious to see when it gets phased out. I want to thank Jason Munns for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Phil, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.